I believe that belief is the most important ingredient in our success. When we see it clearly and believe it dearly, we declare a defining moment, an epiphany, if you will. We declare, I can do this. I am doing this. Detailed success stories I know are the best way to build this belief. So I'm on a mission to interview every diamond and above in Young Living worldwide. I'm learning from them the granular details of what they thought then and what they think now. I gathered all their vital statistics on how many people they enrolled year one to the ER rate. Let's dive in and listen.
Here with a Young Living Road to Diamond interview. So I have the opportunity today to talk to Lindsay Grammont from Austin, Texas. And boy, does she have an incredible story. So I have to give you my disclaimer. Don't try this at home. This is not for amateurs, right? Lindsay's story is pretty incredible. And, you know, what we like to tell people here is in these interviews, we're not interviewing average people. We're not interviewing the typical person in Young Living. I think we all know average and typical don't do extraordinary things in Young Living. Who we're interviewing in Road to Diamond are people that have gone to Diamond Beyond, Diamond and Beyond. And we call it Road to Diamond because what we're looking for are the clues that these people have left along their journey. Clues that you can follow to create your own Road to Diamond. And as you go through and listen to these different interviews, you're going to hear dozens, eventually hundreds of different paths. And so perhaps what you can do is find a path that fits for you, that's authentic for you, that rhymes for you, and you can take that path. Or you can put two or three of them together. And in Lindsay's story today, you're going to hear a pretty exceptional path. And you might ask yourself, well, wow, what do I do with this? Well, if it's not you that can be on Lindsay's journey, perhaps her journey will inspire you to think of, who do you know, like Lindsay, that you could use her story to attract to Young Living? So Lindsay, welcome to Road to Diamond.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Richard. I can remember.
You're headed out on a 2-week European cruise?
Yes, next week. Very exciting. Beautiful.
So tell us a story. What we like to do in the Road to Diamonds is we kind of marry statistics. So we're going to talk about lots of numbers, but we're also going to talk about lots of stories. And we want to start with your story, and I'll set that up. The question is, before Young Living, mm-hmm. Who were you? Where were you? And what were you doing in life?
Well, I am a mom. I was a mom to a young toddler, and I was working full time at IBM. So I had a corporate job at IBM for 15 years. And I had done all kinds of consulting work. I was in IT, you know, that whole thing. So I was working from home. My daughter was in daycare, and I was on a ton of conference calls all day. Sometimes I had to hide in the garage early in the morning to be on a conference call with India, you know, or whatever, right? If she was awake and I needed to hide and do my work. But I, you know, I was having a lot of health issues for many, many years, and I just was really into trying to resolve those. And so I was doing that with food. And so I got really, really into cooking and a traditional diet and getting rid of processed foods. And so in my spare time, which, you know, people always say they have no time, but when you are really passionate about something or interested in something, for me, it was just pure curiosity and just experimenting and just doing. And, posting that somewhere. I just wanted to, you know, experiment with a new recipe, a quick recipe, chopping vegetables while I'm on a conference call, right? And just able to post that on a blog. And so I figured out, you know, that was the best place for me to put my recipes so that I could find them. And what I found instead was a big tribe of people who were looking to do similar types of things. They were busy moms as well, working corporate jobs, but wanted to cook healthily for their families. And so somehow I found the time to do that, but I spent many years cooking and posting recipes and writing a few books. And I did that while I was working my corporate job.
And what was the name of your blog, or what is still the name of your blog?
Homemade Mommy.
Homemade Mommy. I looked at it. Pretty cool. And so what you would do on there is, you know, basically educate people on things that you found about recipes, how to go back to whole foods, real food,
yeah.
Get away from processed foods, get away from chemicals. How many years did you have that blog
before? I started the blog, I mean, I think I posted my first few recipes right before I gave birth to my daughter. So back in 2009 is when I started it. And I started really posting in earnest. If you go back, you can even see some of these old posts from like 2011, I think. I started sharing like food journals. I mean, you could see what I ate every day, what my daughter ate every day for like, it was real boring for like a year. I think that's all I posted. But I needed that. I was working on our own stuff, right? But that was probably, you know, 2011, 2012 is when I really started to work on it and grow it.
And by the time you were introduced to Young Living, how many people followed your blog?
I had probably about anywhere from 200,000 to 300,000 unique, you know, viewers, readers, whatever, a month.
Mm-hmm. And did you also have social pages on Instagram and Facebook?
Not Instagram, Facebook, yes.
How many people on Facebook followed you?
I have like 67,000 likes or whatever now, but as we all know, they don't all see everything. But yes, now it was a big page at the time.
And did you email your blog out to, did you have a list?
I have an email list, yes.
And how many are on that list?
Probably about 25,000.
Okay. So awesome. And the reason I ask you that, Lindsay, is, you know, there's people that are in the blogging and social media realm that they're going to want to understand, okay, what was your size and reach when you were introduced to Young Living? And so how you translated that, though, to a build in Young Living, pretty extraordinary. One question about your blog.
Yes.
Did you make any money off that thing before Young Living?
I did. I made some, but not from advertising. I think a lot of people think bloggers make, and some do, many do, but I was not one of them. I made maybe a few $100 a month from advertising. I did make quite a bit from Amazon affiliate stuff, and then also I wrote a couple of books. So at the time that I joined Young Living, I had just released my second book, and it was doing super well. It was Real Food for Busy Moms. And it was, you know, just my book of like, here's how you do it when you're working and you need to cook real food.
Okay.
So it was super simple, but it was doing really well. And I said to our financial planner, I really want to leave my job. I like doing this. You know, I don't like working for companies that I know have horrible food and whatever. So he said, well, not yet, you know, that kind of thing. And I said, no, I really just want to do that. And I remember I left, you know, a few months after I started building Young Living, but, and thought we were going to survive on beans and rice, but I was okay with that.
Yeah. So, tell us about how you got introduced, because what I want the listener to sort of visualize is, okay, a question might be, you might be a blogger, you might be an author, but the real question, folks, is who do you know mm-hmm. that's a blogger and an author? And I want you to sort of visualize how Lindsay was approached, how she saw things, and how that gestation period evolved, which is pretty interesting, little trigger points, mm-hmm. when then you all of a sudden decided, wow, this could be a way that I could leave my job and leverage my blog. So how were you first introduced to Young Living, and who introduced you? The name is not that important to all of the listeners. Share it if you want, but more importantly is, what was the relationship you had to the person that introduced you to Young Living, and how did they introduce you?
So I grew up with Jen Jordan and April Pointer. Okay, who April Pointer was actually my enroller. I was introduced, I guess I would, if I look back, it was probably Jen who added me to one of April Pointer's Facebook groups. And I didn't pay much attention to it, but I was making all this real food. And then at some point I thought, well, it's not just what I put in my body, it's what I put on my body. So I started experimenting with making things like deodorant or sunscreen or whatever. And I was like completely anti oils because I grew up with asthma. And so anything with a fragrance, I was like, no, absolutely not. But when I started making these recipes and putting them on my blog, like for sunscreen or whatever, I needed to, when I posted the recipe, I would do it unscented, but if I were going to post it for someone, I needed to tell them how many drops of lavender, for example, to put in there. And so I did, you know, post a couple of kind of those kind of recipes, and they did super well. They actually went like very viral. And so I thought, you know, I could post another chicken recipe, or I could post, you know, another beauty recipe. And I had fun doing them, and I was getting a lot of, you know, questions about them and whatever. And I had just bought whatever oils, right? And I did not like them, but, you know, it was for the recipe for the blog, and that was it. And so then, you know, at that point, or even before that, I mean, I was in April's group, but I wasn't really paying much attention. She then reached out to me and was asking, you know, questions and, you know, talking about the oils. And I said, no, I really am not in the oils game. I'm in the food game.
Stop for a second, Lindsay. Yes. What kind of questions did April ask you?
I think, you know, she was trying to educate me about oils. I don't remember the exact question she was asking me, but she asked me to post some, you know, she had some ideas for some recipes, and she was telling me about thieves, and, you know, so I allowed her to do a guest post on my blog with like a recipe. She offered to do a recipe. So, you know, that might be something that, you know, I was happy to have that. I didn't know anything about them, so I let her do that post, and I actually allowed her to link to her blog. She didn't really have a blog, but her website for people to enroll with her from my site. I don't think nobody really did, but I mean, you know, that was just interesting. Right. So yeah. So, I mean, I went down that path. It actually took her 9 months to get me to enroll. She sent me some peppermint and some lavender. I did notice they were a little bit different. And then I tried to enroll as a retail customer, and she told me no. And finally then enrolled, but then did not use the oils. It wasn't actually the purchase that got me to really use them. It was actually a very different side of the story. But anyway.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you started using the oils. That whole process took 9 months of April asking questions,
talking,
nurturing,
following up, all of that stuff. Yes.
I call it kind of the green eggs and ham syndrome. It's like, would you with a box? Yes, would you with a box?
No. And then
yeah, what about this? What about that? In this Facebook group, have you ever tried this? Have you ever tried?
Right.
So awesome story about you and April there. And so then tell us what happened that you saw the light about building.
A couple months after I bought my kit, I placed an order for my mom. So part of this has to do with my mom. But anyway, I placed an order for her. She wanted the cleaner. And so I bought the cleaner on my account and had it shipped to her. And so it was a 100 PV order. And so the next month I noticed that I had a product credit, and I wondered why. And so I reached out to April and I said, why do I have this product credit? And she explained why, that there was some people under me. So Jen had actually placed a couple people under me that she had gotten as orphans or something. And one of them had enrolled somebody who had enrolled somebody. And it wasn't like a lot, but there was something where I got like $23 or something like that as a product credit.
Yep.
And I said, why? And she said, do you want me to add you to a group where you could learn more about building a business? And I said, sure. And I watched all the videos, and then I decided, okay, I could do this.
Yep. There it is right there. So two things. One is this little bit of activity, which they created by building some depth under you. And that got your attention. And then April asked you, do you want me to add you to a group about building? And you said yes. And then you watched the videos. What videos did you watch, and what did you see in those videos that inspired you to say, I can do this?
Oh, people who've been around a while probably might know this video. It was a girl sitting there, and she was giving an example with a whiteboard, and she had, you know, she was talking about like real estate or something. I don't know. And she, you know, drew circles and explained it, you know.
You basically got what's called the napkin presentation.
Totally. Totally.
And so did you see in that the exponential growth possibility? Is that what led you to say, I can do this?
Yes. And, you know, and I had had some good stories with the oils, good results at that point in time. And I think another encouraging thing was I was talking with my mom and her boyfriend, and he knew a lot of people in MLM, and he didn't see it as a negative. He said, oh, I have some really good friends who've made a lot of money doing this. And so
that helped.
Yeah, that helped. And I think just having a community online, I just felt like I had people who would be interested, you know?
Yep. Okay. So tell us about the build. Once you said, I can do this, what did you do?
I did a lot of stuff, but mainly I started my own Facebook group and, you know, invited everyone who wanted to be a part in, and just started posting what I was doing, what I was using, how I was using the oils, really simple stuff, not complicated. No, just my own daily usage. That was what I was posting in there. And I posted things on my blog. I started posting more recipes for things that I was making on my blog as well. And then of course all my other social media was getting those posts, you know, so Pinterest and, you know, that kind of thing.
Right. And you say you invited everybody to join your group. Who did you invite and how did you invite them?
I posted on Facebook, you know, repeatedly all the time. I have this group, you know, you can come and learn with us. And I posted on every blog post, had a link to it, you know, any embedded links everywhere, you know, any through my email list and, you know, just my Facebook page, Pinterest, right? It wasn't just a one-time thing. And then in my group, to encourage more people to join, I was doing giveaways. Like when we hit, you know, 1,000 people, or so tag people, and then anyone who's commented and added someone, you know, so it was a lot of giveaways and adding people to the group and growing the group.
Yeah, that's great. That's brilliant. Very intentional, viral stimulus.
Yes.
Casting a vision to people. Hey, when we get to 1,000 people in the group, I'm doing this, so tag your friends. So you're getting people to recruit people. Mm-hmm. And they're getting in the group, and they're not necessarily even in Young Living yet?
Many weren't, but there were a lot that were. And so I really learned very early on integrity. And, you know, that is something that it's a big deal to me, and I teach my team about. Like, where, you know, I was very intentional. People said, well, I'm already on this team, but I want to join with you. I was always like, no.
Right.
So, you know, there was a lot of figuring out how to do that early on. And there was a lot of folks who were in those groups that I remember being in my group that were with other teams, and, you know, we're all still very friendly today.
Okay. So we're going to look at some of your numbers, which are going to be staggering for people. They're probably going to create a lot of questions. So the first question I asked you is, when did you enroll? And that was July 2013. Mm-hmm. When did you start building? October of 2013. So that's always an interesting stat in people's story. When did you enroll? But then when did the lights come on? So for you, that was about 4 months,
mm-hmm.
or the lights came on. And it took you 9 months to get to Diamond?
9 months. Mm-hmm.
Is that a record?
I think people have tied it. I don't know of anyone who's gotten there faster. Maybe somebody in, you know, Hong Kong or something.
Crazy. Crazy. So the other question I ask you is, how many PSKs did you enroll in the first 12 months? So you already got to Diamond by the time that October 2014 came around. How many people you enrolled in your first year with a PSK was 263. Mm-hmm. That's a crazy number. That's a career like most people that I interview, Lindsay, if they're a Royal Crown Diamond and they've been working at it for 5, 6, 7, 8 years, they've personally enrolled 263 people total. Mm-hmm. You did it in your first year. Did they come from that Facebook group? And can you speak to strategically, how did you cast the vision? How did you make the request? What was the call to action and where did you place it that people said, okay, here's my $160, sign me up?
Well, it was $150 then, but yes. Okay. I posted in my group, I posted on my blog. So every blog post had a link, you know, to how they could join. And there was a whole page that explained what it was to join and, you know, what they would get from it, and also about Accenture Awards. And I had a lot of people who would do both, you know, join and then order on Accenture Awards and hit that 300 PB. So, you know, it was just all a part of it. And I would send out emails, you know, there would be various things I would do to stir the pot, of course, to drive.
Like what? Tell us, mm-hmm. What'd you do to stir the pot?
Well, you know, sometimes we'd get these vouchers, so there'd be some, or maybe a diffuser necklace, or, you know, just different things. And, you know, it was early on. People didn't know. I mean, I didn't even know what a diffuser necklace was then. And once I found out what it was, I wanted one of them and to give them away. You know, give PSK giveaways. I used to do a giveaway on my blog about once a month where people commented with what they liked about the PSK or what they wanted to use in the PSK if they wanted one. So they, you know, had to comment, and then they had to comment on Facebook too. They had to do a whole bunch of things to be entered in the giveaway, and somebody would win and people would enroll from that. You know, you could just get one now if you're seeing all these comments that are so great and you want one. Right. So a lot of that kind of stuff. But I did have a lot of people who joined as retail customers that never bought anything, you know. Right. You know, they're just, a lot of people were trying to do something with me, but they didn't know what yet.
Did you have any kind of a training and onboarding program that, so those 263 people, like once they sign up, what's next for them? What's the step-by-step process so they don't get lost in all the chaos? Did you have something?
No, I'm all about chaos. So they just joined the group and learned, and everybody just kind of posted in there, and we all posted, and it was all just what we were doing every day. There was not anything methodical at that in that first year. No, not at all.
Wow. Cool. All right. So I'm going to fast forward. So this is 2019. You're at about, I guess, you know, year five, right? Somewhere in there.
Well, in July, it'll be my sixth year. Yeah.
Yeah. So just like for overall folks, Lindsay's at about $3.5 million a month in sales with 75,000 people on her team. And she's a Royal Crown Diamond, obviously. My question to you, Lindsay, as you look at the whole group, is out of the 263 people that you enrolled in the first year, can you give us a sense of how much of your business came from those people the first year versus people you've enrolled since then?
It's pretty well, I don't know. It's pretty well, I'm very evenly spread. Let's just say that. Like I have 7 main legs and a lot of little toes, but 5 of those legs are like pretty equal in volume. I mean, there's, you know, and they have shifted a lot over the years of who's in the front running, right, whatever, but it's very nicely spread. There's not like one, you know, mermaid leg or something right. like that.
My question is, of the 5, mm-hmm. how many of them came out of the first 263?
Of the 5 legs?
Yes.
They're all original and they're all still in it and they're all, you know, platinum or diamond or above. Yeah. Right. From them. And so
everything that you've built, I think the point I'm trying to make is 5 years later,
yeah.
75,000 people came from enrolling 263 people in year one.
Yeah. I mean, there has been new stuff, believe me.
Yes, for sure. Mm-hmm. But the new stuff,
stable leaders, yes.
If the new stuff never happened, you'd still have a huge business.
Yes. Right? Yes.
So out of those 263 people, I don't remember if I asked you, yeah, I did 15. So out of those 263 people, you have 15 leader, what we call leader legs, right? Mm-hmm. Those are legs that are kind of driving deep. They're, I don't know, silver, gold, platinum, or above.
I have seven of those legs, yeah, that are gold and above.
Okay, out of 263, let's say 10%. So it's about 5% of the people you enrolled. I think that's the number I'm looking for people, mm-hmm. is what percentage of the people you enrolled went on to build big businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And if that number is about 5%, which I think it is, that's pretty well fits in the whole network marketing history. You enroll 100 people, you're going to get about 5 of them to go on and build something of substance.
Yeah, there's about 332 left that I personally enrolled. They don't all stick around, you know.
Right. Okay. Well, fabulous job. Now let's get into some philosophy.
Okay.
So you've obviously learned a lot in this process.
Mm-hmm.
First question is, in the last 5 years, what's the biggest mistake you've made? And maybe you made it one time. Maybe it was a bad habit. Maybe it was a mistake that cost you in actual build volume. Maybe it was like a strategic mistake. Maybe it was a relationship mistake. Maybe it was a personal mistake. Shed some light on what's the biggest mistake you've made.
Well, I think the biggest mistake I made early on was working this like a corporate job. I worked a lot of hours, 80 hours a week, maybe 100 hours a week, just because I loved it, but I also, you know, just felt like I had to for some reason. And you know, when I hit Royal Crown Diamond, and around that time was when I was feeling like, you know, it was like I was hitting maybe a ceiling somewhere, with people that I wanted, you know, I just felt like maybe, I mean, it wasn't happening this way, but I just kind of felt like we were a little bit stuck early on. And, I kind of just put out this radical thing, like, I'm going to cut my hours to 20 hours a week. Will you do that with me, to my team? And, we all did that. And it was like really refreshing, because a lot of the people actually weren't working more than 10 or 20 hours a week. They were homeschooling moms or whatever. And it was just great to just like bring that to light. Like, look, you don't have to work this business that many hours for it to be successful. And it really like gelled everybody together in a new way. And so it was a big mistake to kind of work that much, but it also taught me something real about this business, that this business usually for people is very much a part-time business. And, you know, it's not full-time for most people, nor should it be, I don't think.
Yeah. In fact, one of the things that we teach people is if they actually worked the business, like connected with people, mm-hmm. invited people, promoted 30 minutes a day,
mm-hmm.
but they did it every day, at least 5 or 6 days a week, and they did it for a year.
Yes.
They would have actually done more work than 99.9% of people that have ever joined the profession. And they built a big business. So that's a brilliant breakthrough that you had. And I love the courage that you displayed to put it out there to your people, hey, let's all work less. And then that kind of just, I can just imagine all the people that, like you said, couldn't work 40 or 80 hours a week, who felt all of a sudden included, who felt validated, who felt mm-hmm. like, I matter, I can actually do this too.
Yes.
Beautiful move. Okay, other than that, like solving the working too much problem,
mm-hmm.
what's the smartest thing that you've done in the last 5 years? And I know there's a lot, but pick one, Lindsay, that the listeners could implement.
Many of the listeners will know my heart in this, but they've heard it maybe in the Diamond, you know, whatever that Diamond, 12 Days of Diamonds is. I've talked about it there and also in the symposium that Dr. Ali puts on. But biggest thing for me that has worked so well is edification. That's just, that is like everything for me. I mean, I think it helps in all aspects of this business and life, right? It's just like a strategy for life. But it really helps with just edifying the company, edifying everything, because, you know, the last thing you want, I remember hearing from you. So I went to Mastermind. I won a trip from Young Living to go to Mastermind in 2014. And you, there was a whole Young Living thing that Shannon Hudson put on and you spoke at it. And I have lots of your videos from my phone recorded on my computer from that day. But one thing that I always quote that you said that day was, the more animals in the barn, the more poop you have to clean up. You probably don't even remember saying that, but
I don't.
I think the biggest thing about edification is just really leading people where you want them to go with your words, setting expectations with what you are expecting of people all the time, you know, in the groups all the time, what I'm expecting. I'm expecting it to be a positive place. I'm expecting people to share. I'm expecting it to be fun. I'm expecting people to be entrepreneurial. I'm expecting people to set boundaries. I'm expecting, you know, people to be kind. You know, I'm always talking about that. So edification in so many different ways has been, I think, the best thing that I've ever learned to do really well and that I teach. And it just created a really amazing positive culture in my team.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Out of all of like all the people, you know, silver and above. I mean, I have great relationships with almost all, like 99% of them. So it's just, it's really good.
Yeah. I love that. That feels like a book. I just wrote a blog today about culture and how you actually created, and you spoke that so eloquently, Lindsay, about how you created the culture of edification by casting the vision, by declaring it, like speaking it into your people, that you, it's called, one of the things it's called is the Pygmalion effect. Have you studied the story of Pygmalion?
No.
It's an old Greek mythology story, which is maybe one of the very first ideas around people living up to the vision that you cast for them.
Yes.
And I just heard you speak that so powerfully, that whatever you want people to do, whatever you want the culture of your team to do, you're constantly speaking that vision, declaring it, and creating a space for them to step into it and live up to it.
Right.
Beautiful, beautiful, powerful thing. I mean, you could write a book about that, right? That could be that could be an all-day seminar about all the ways that you did it. Give us a couple of details about that. Like you said, you're always edifying the company. Maybe speak to that one. Like, how do you always do that?
Well, it's just, you know, always when I say edifying the company, I mean like our products. I mean, you know, everything, right? The community. It's not just about my team or our team, right? It's the whole community. I mean, it's a very special place to be a part of, right? And on the whole, most people are in our company are very ethical. You know, we're all about purpose over profit. I mean, there's just so many incredible things to write about how I've experienced our company, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, just the trips we go on, who you get to meet, what kind of people they are, who uses the products and how, and, you know, just the experiences we have around the products at the retreats, you know, so there's so many ways to talk about that, you know, and just what a special thing we have here that's very different, I think, in the industry. And so I talk a lot about that, you know, even when I'm telling somebody that I don't even know that comes into my house and they want to know about the opportunity, you know, or some new people, you know, I'm building in South Africa right now. So that's all new people. They don't know about our company at all, but they do know about network marketing companies. So usually what I'll say is, you know, yes, it is a network marketing company like Amway or whatever, but you know, 90% of our members are just happy customers. And only 10% actually build a business. And usually that's accidental. And that's the opposite generally in our industry. So I'll say things like that to edify really what we have that's something special. I mean, you could take away my paycheck, but if you took away these bottles behind me, like our family would suffer. I mean, tremendously. Like it would be like you cut off my right arm.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing that attracted Kimmy and I to Young Living is the culture. And it's not an accidental thing. It's a very complicated but precise thing that Gary and Mary created over 25 years. And they did it kind of like you spoke about edification. They did it by speaking intentionally and being a stand and not tolerating things that were outside their vision of the culture, not tolerating it for themselves, not tolerating it out in the sales force or the corporate team. And 25 years later, what you have is a very, very sticky organization in terms of people, you know, like joining and staying part because they love the products, they love the people, they feel good in the presence of this community. Mm-hmm. And that is the secret for building asset income, income that lasts forever because people just keep using these products.
Right.
Beautiful stuff. Tell us, Lindsay, as we wrap this up, financially, you've probably done as much as you ever dreamed of doing in Young Living. What's next for you? What does the next 5 years look like? What motivates you now? What inspires you now? What's your new mission? Maybe it's to rest. Maybe it's family. Maybe it's travel. What is it?
Well, I did some resting because I have a 2.5-year-old now. So I've done some resting. I shut down my business group many years ago, actually. I have a main kind of leader chat with just probably about 20 people that I talk to every day. My main biggest leaders, inner circle, if you will call it. So I've had kind of my rest time, but this year I started building in South Africa. My husband's actually South African. And so international is kind of a big thing for me right now. And also just, I've been focusing on growing my Instagram because that's fun for me right now. And, you know, you always have to grow new eyeballs. And I want to go back to my roots of really sharing. I mean, I feel like essential oils are like a gateway drug to better nutrition, and that's really my heart. So that's my focus right now. And I am like entering back in, so I'm kind of out of my rest period. I mean, I'm not really a restful person. My rest might be like, you know, 90% or something of someone else, but I, you know, now very intentional in where I'm focusing my efforts and growing in different ways.
Beautiful. All right, I'm going to turn the tables on you as you wrap this up. I didn't prep you for this, so this is going to be totally intuitive. You're going to have to bounce here.
Okay.
If you were to ask me a question about Young Living, what would you ask me?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you have been in the industry for so long that really what I am curious about from you is just that longevity secret sauce, right? I mean, if you are going to drive an engine that's going to grow forever, right? What does that entail?
Yeah, it's culture. And Gary and Mary have, I mean, they are maestros of it. What keeps a business here forever? Products are huge. But products are not the only thing, because there's lots of companies that can develop excellent products. What allows us to be here 100 years from now is not just that we have excellent products. We can't hang our hat on that entirely. It is really the community. And it's not that other companies can't create wonderful communities. They can. But it's the community of people that will allow Young Living to be here 100 years from now. It's the values, the shared values, mm-hmm. that attracts people, first of all, to Young Living, but then keeps them here. And you know, whether it's printed predominantly throughout the organization or not, what Gary and Mary have done a brilliant job of is people in Young Living know the rules. And what I mean by rules are, well, rules define culture. So, for example, an analogy, just an analogy, is one of the things that defines Christianity is the Ten Commandments. And there's usually some document like that that defines every religion. So if you're in the religion, what you have agreed to do by signing up for the religion is abide by the Ten Commandments. And because they're so prominent, if you are violating one of the commandments, it's not like the authority figure on top of the organization that chastises you for violating one of the commandments. It's the community. The United States itself is a community and a culture of laws. So if you break a law, if you break into somebody's house and take something from their home, you don't have to rely on the police to let you know that you violated the culture. Everyone knows you violated.
Right.
And the culture tends not to tolerate people that violate the culture. Mm-hmm. So the things that Gary and Mary have baked into Young Living is purpose before profit. I mean, that's a slogan, that's a tagline, that's a commandment, purpose before profit. But here's the thing that separates Young Living from so many organizations. Gary had over and over and over and over again demonstrated that that's not only a declaration, that's his state of being. That's who he is. And he demonstrated that over and over and over again, that he was going to make decisions that were about purpose over profit. And he's done that consistently, and Mary continues to do it today. You know, the ethics, the code of ethics in Young Living, whenever you have money in play and there's opportunity, there's, you know, you trigger people's greed and selfishness, you trigger that creative rationalization why, oh, well, that customer should be mine because, you know, she lives next door to me or whatever, right? You trigger that rationalization. But the code is so strong in Young Living about doing the right thing that people tend to. It's not that there aren't exceptions, but people tend to do the right thing. And, you know, that's one of the things that defines the culture of Young Living. And love defines the culture. And service to others that are less fortunate defines the culture. And fun defines the culture. And product defines the culture. But product in Young Living is not just product.
Yeah.
It is the farm experience, right? It's
right.
People go there and they make the product.
Right.
And you can't ever unring that bell from people. That's in their DNA now forever. Mm-hmm. And this is the secret sauce that Gary baked into Young Living that has already proven. There's not another network marketing company on the planet that is 25 years old, that's doing $2 billion a year, that 90% of its sales are still in North America, so the whole world is left to grow, and is still growing at 25, 30% a year. Nobody has those statistics. And it's not because of the product itself. It's not because of the comp plan. It's not because of the marketing. It's all culture.
That's a good point.
And that's what's going to keep the company growing, and that's what's going to protect the company, and it is the best asset income opportunity on the planet, including every other network marketing company, in our opinion, because of that.
Yeah, it was so cool when you joined Young Living.
Thank you. And Lindsay, thank you so much for your story. You are Road to Diamond interview number one. You are the very first interview of this program. And my vision is to interview every diamond and above in Young Living, which I know will take years. but then what people can do is study these interviews and find their own inspiration, their own faith, their own belief, and their own path to go build their own freedom. Thank you very much for the gift that you are to this community and to your team.
Thank you so much for having me, Richard. It's really, really been a great time, and I love chatting with you.
We'll chat more, I'm sure. Thanks, Lindsay.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. I trust you got some golden nuggets. If you're inspired sufficiently, I invite you to join me for Run Through Rank. Run Through Rank is a coaching program designed to have you blow through your next rank with never having to worry about requalifying. We come together twice a week for an hour for 60 days. You'll end up with 16 to 20 hours of custom video content you can study forever. This could be the best investment you ever make. Check it out at runthroughrank.com. That's runthruRank.com. We'll see you there.